The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thursday, that makes it Friday Eve, Dom. Celebrating the working people out there in the great state of Wisconsin. And we've got a fine guest in the happy hour, Charles Franklin, New Marquette University Law School polling, national polling at 5. And we've got a fine guest right from the top. Welcome our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who I think's got a big announcement she made today.
Hey, hi, fellas.
Hey there.
Thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks for joining us. I understand you've had a busy day, perhaps the worst kept secret in politics, Kristen. You made a big announcement earlier today. What was that announcement?
Yeah, I am running for the 8th district, 8th CD congressional seat up in the Green Bay Appleton area. So Northeast Wisconsin, get ready, because you are about to have a new representative. We've got an open seat up there, and we've got a clear path for somebody who knows the people, who represents the people, who listens to the people. So let's do this.
Kristen, I got to admit, we had our pal, the former mayor, Jim Schmidt, on election day.
Yes.
And Jim kind of threw you under a bus, and then the Journal Sentinel kind of backed it over you yesterday. Kristen, was it you or the campaign that couldn't keep the cat under the hat, if you know what I'm saying?
Like you said, Mike, it's the worst kept secret. Jim and I have been talking about this. Jim and I do their show, Mino and the Mayor, sometimes up in Green Bay, and we have so much fun. Jim, you know, is the four-time, he'll always remind us, he never lost an election, four-time elected mayor of Green Bay, and he is a community builder. He's the kind of guy who just loves to represent the people of Green Bay. He loves to show up. He loves to have those conversations, and he loves to solve problems. And I've really enjoyed the time that I've spent with Jim. So I'm not surprised that he let the cat out of the bag, because we've been kind of talking about it casually.
Oh, what a political answer you give. You're getting good at this already. She is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She's running for the 8th CD. That was the Mike Gallagher seat. Hopefully it will be yours soon. But let's talk about your resume. You are an OBGYN by vocation. Kristen, in these times, post-Dobbs, how do you think that qualifies you for the U.S. Congress?
Well, as you said, I'm an OBGYN doctor, and I've done a lot of advocacy work on behalf of my patients. And, you know, I ran for the state assembly back in 2020 and never talked about abortion because it was way too touchy. But here in 2024, everybody's talking about abortion. It's the issue, and it's the thing that maybe I'm most known for. But I'm so much more than that. I'm a board certified obstetrician gynecologist. I work in a rural community. Most of my job is delivering babies and helping people figure out how to solve their problems. So I take care of people who are children all the way up to, you know, in their 80s and 90s. And as somebody who has a lot of breadth to my medical care, it's not just prescribing medicine. It's not just sending people to consults. It's talking about what does your weight look like? Do you have an opportunity to eat healthy food? Are there places that you can get out? Yeah, I'm looking at you, Kurt. Are there places where can you get out and walk around? Do you have healthy relationships so your mental health is stable? Are you living in a safe house? There are so many other things that contribute to your health that I talk with my patients about all the time and that I hear my neighbors and friends talking about that are needs for them. They're having their needs met. We can pull a lot of levers on state and federal level as leaders with regards to these social determinants.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She is the Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. Kristen, thank you for coming around once again. The tone these days, it's a little touchy. What is your sense of this election cycle being so important and reflective of basic democracy in this country? Of course, we had the January 6th insurrection. We have a president, and we had, of course, members of Congress involved in efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Some of these things are still playing out. What's your sense? Is democracy safe? Is this something that we should be worrying about, or do you think people are overhyping it?
I think there are so many things we should worry about, and democracy is at the top of the list. As a women's healthcare provider and a woman myself, reproductive freedom is a huge issue. These are existential issues for so many of us. And when you hear people say this is the most consequential election of our lifetime, this really is the most consequential election of our lifetime. And when you look at how we're approaching it, the fear and division on one side versus the community building positivity and hope on the other side, it's a pretty clear choice where people want to end up. And that's what we've got to continue to do, is build that sense of community, bring people together, find those common problems, that common ground where we can start and build out our solutions from there.
Kristen, with the abortion issue, a lot of the opposition to it, to my perspective, are basically religious based. How do you address, you know, that portion of it with the personal freedoms? Is this something you think you can bring people along on? I know it's touchy and it's easy for me as a middle-aged white guy, but what's your sense on that part of it?
Well, I was born in the 8th Congressional District. I grew up in a very Catholic family. The district is pretty Catholic, but Catholics use contraception at the same rate as everybody else, and Catholics get abortions at the same rate as everybody else. When I'm sitting in an exam room and my patient is talking with me about what's going on in her life, and we're sharing all of the options, not just the options that I would choose for myself, but all of the options, and my patient chooses what is the best thing within the context of her life, and then I can help her pursue that option, that's the key. That's the best thing for her. And it's her ideology, it's her values, it's her religious background and her family. All of those things are what drive her to make the decision she makes. If you're someone who doesn't believe in that, you really shouldn't have any say in what her decision is. And what we're seeing in politics is that politicians have been interfering in our personal medical decisions, our personal healthcare decisions. We simply cannot tolerate this anymore. We wouldn't tolerate this if it was about a cancer diagnosis and chemotherapy options. So why do we tolerate it when it comes to our reproductive choices?
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our fine guest, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, an OBGYN, a candidate for U.S. Congress from the 8th. That was a place where no one even ran on the Democratic side last time, Kristen. And you and I had this conversation last summer. You were generous enough to co-host with me when I was sneaking up to Green Bay one day. And we had a couple of drinks, I think, with Mino and the mayor after the show. And
yes, we did.
You felt this passion perhaps to run for a higher elected office, but it seemed dissuasive that we know that the 8th was gerrymandered and that there is a lot of power of incumbency. But suddenly, when Gallagher said, I'm out, how did that change the math, the arithmetic for you, Kristen?
So I would back up all the way to COVID when I first ran for assembly. And I ran not because I wanted to serve in the assembly, but because I wanted to make a difference. And when I lost that race by 4 points, I got involved in the Fair Maps movement, and I got involved in Governor Evers' reelection campaign, and I got involved in Janet Protasiewicz's campaign, and things started to move in a very positive direction. And then we rediscovered that we were going to get new maps, and there was hope. And so we started building this deep bench of candidates. People were stepping up and saying, I want to be part of the solution. And that's always been my goal. I want to be part of the solution. Where do I fit? And as all of the seats, all of the candidates started to divvy out, once we knew what the maps were, it became clear that this was the best place for me. So here I am. And man, I am so excited. That path is right in front of us. And all we have to do is pull all of our people in, all of our people who believe in democracy, who believe in personal healthcare freedom, who believe in freedom. That's our path.
She is Dr. Kristen Lyer-Lee. She is running for the U.S. Congress. And Kristen, looking from Washington, D.C., a long ways away, they're going to say this is not a competitive race. And I would say au contraire. I am so intrigued by your candidacy. I mean, when we talk about the best and the brightest, Kristen, I think you are amongst the best and the brightest I know. And when the contrast is probably going to be Andre Jacques, could be Roger Roth, but I think it would be State Senator Andre Jacques, who is anti-abortion, anti-vax, anti-democracy, wrote a letter to the vice president on January 5th of 2021, asking him to not do his constitutional duty. Well, that's your probable opponent if no primary opponents here. And I think, Kristen, I think you've got a good chance of winning the primary. So you win the primary, you go up against Andre Jacques. I think this is one of the most intriguing races. How do you beat his ass?
Well, don't forget about Alec Brusewitz, who's coming out of Florida and has a lot of mega support. I think it's going to be a bloody Republican primary, but we're just going to keep community building and working together, and that's why we are going to win.
Kristen, to win, you're going to need some money. How do people support your brand new campaign? How do they get behind your candidacy?
I'm so glad you asked. You can go to Kristen for Wisconsin. That's Kristen with two I's. And you can sign up to volunteer. You can donate. Reach out to us. We want to hear from you. This campaign is about the people of Wisconsin.
And did I hear a web address? How do you get there from here?
KristenForWisconsin.com.
Okay. I wanted to hear it twice. I'm a boomer, you know. I think you called me fat. Now you can call me fat and inattentive. Dr. Kristen Lyer-Lee, she is amongst the best and the brightest. Learn more about her campaign. Kristen, good luck out there. I know you got a big, big weekend ahead.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you, Mike and Dom.
More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789. Phone lines are open for you. Toll free.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it. When you join the political party, you can do so at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I want to thank our most recent guest, a newly announced candidate for Congress, Dr. Kristen Lyer-Lee. And I think she gave you the website at least a couple times, but go support her if you can. I find this race very intriguing. I don't know if the National Democrats are going to see it as such from D.C. You know, she's not going to get the national resources, not on day one. But if we see some polling that come out a little closer to November, I think she's got a great chance, especially if Andre Jacques is the opponent. Go, Andre, go.
A contrast in all, every sort of way. Kristen Lyer-Lee, thank you for joining us. Go check her out. Kristen for Wisconsin, I believe she said. Google it. It's worth a Google. 844-967-2789. Crudy, I got to ask you, though, based on the good doctor's advice here, have you been moving around a lot lately, or... How's things been for you?
Well, the best weight loss plan I ever had was cocaine.
It's a hell of a drug. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is.
Did you see today that Donald Trump is floating the idea?
I mean,
that perhaps his opponent, Joe Biden's doing the cocaine? Now, this seems improbable to me. Cocaine Joe doesn't seem like, you know, Cocaine Mitch, I could believe that. But Cocaine
Joe? On the, you know, distributing, you know, the boats and whatnot. But like what? Like the old man's literally getting up, you know, chomping up an eight ball and snorting down before he comes on the stage. Now, and this is Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump in Green Bay, we played a little bit of that speech. Sorry, folks, speech. But he never stopped talking. He didn't take a breath. He was nonstop, kept talking. I'm like, really? You're going to be the one to judge somebody else's drug habits?
Well, maybe it's projection. You know how they do.
I mean, you know, that's a big part of Republicans, and specifically Trump, projection, certainly.
844-967-2789. But before we get to the phones, let me give you the headlines. I want a drug test. Trump
Who
flouts
wants a drug test. Nobody wants a drug test.
Trump flouts the idea that President Biden is using the cocaine dom.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah. Former President Donald Trump floated the possibility that President Joe Biden was using cocaine when he delivered his State of the Union address this year. I felt like it was appropriately paced, not like super speeded.
Say hello to my little friend.
In a Thursday interview, the Hewitt asked the former president about debating Biden ahead of the 2024 election. Yeah, anywhere, anytime, Trump insisted. Anywhere, anytime. Do you think he will agree, Hewitt asked. I don't think so, but I hope he does. I think what happened is, you know, that white stuff that they happened to find, which happened to be cocaine in the White House. I don't know. I think something's going on there because I watched the State of the Union and he was all jacked up from the beginning. At the end, he was fading fast. There's something going on there. I want to debate. I think debates with him at least should be drug tested. I want a drug test.
Oh. I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, it's totally believable, this guy.
Hugh Hewitt, seeking clarity, you know, as a good interviewer will. And also and Hugh Hewitt. President, Mr. President, and, you know, that's what he calls Trump. Mr. President, are you suggesting President Biden's using cocaine?
I don't know what he's using, but that was not, hey, he was higher than a kite. And by the way, it was the worst address I've ever seen, State of the Union. I'll tell you, State of the Union, that's not State of the Union because he doesn't represent us properly.
Yeah, because that's a logical statement of sorts. Those are words. Well done, man, woman, camera, television.
Wait, there's one more small excerpt from the former Dom.
That I can tell you, but he's obviously being helped some way because most of the time he looks like he's falling asleep and all of a sudden he walked up there and he did a poor job, but he was all jacked up.
Yeah. Come on, man. So if I'm reading between the lines here, he's being helped in some way. That help was apparently cocaine. So Donald Trump is saying cocaine helps you.
Cocaine that's what is helps a hell you. Of a drug.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Don Jr. tells him.
I mean.
Now, we've noted a few times, Dom, and I hate to speculate because they're old men. I can't see either one of these guys doing cocaine. It wouldn't be good for your heart, but how many times have we seen, you know, former president sniffs a lot?
Well, I mean, a lot. Yes.
He does that quite a bit. That is something that Trump often does in front of microphones. It's quite obvious because he's often amplified when he's doing the heavy trying to pull his palate back into the back of his nose. Now, I'm not saying the man's doing cocaine dumb, but I'm just saying I've seen a few times where he's all jacked up. 844-967-2789. John from Boaz. John, you'll be first today if I can get there. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us, John?
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Great. You know, they named the island after you, Dominic, and maybe it'd be good vacation.
What's it called?
I would like to.
What's Dominic's island called?
The Island of Sexy Men?
I heard it was Epstein's island.
Oh, God.
Sandy Beaches? How's that? Sandy Beaches? Right. Dominic the Republic or something like that. I would like to bring up a history lesson going back 10 or 20 years to UW La Crosse, History 201.
Uh-oh.
Donald Trump and Hitler are very comparable. My opinion, I am a history professor, but the Trump and Hitler are both the
844-967-2789.
There is a lot of false statements presented by both Donald Trump and the mass murder that was Hitler. I think there's certainly some similarities with the love of authoritarianism, the love of fascism, the false bravado, the engagement of Christianity for nationalist purposes.
The calls for mass deportation?
Yes, I mean, there's certainly a lot. Professor John, thank you for your contribution today.
Thank you indeed. 844-967-2789. Come on back. It's still a political party up here. I hear Joe's bringing the cocaine.
We're gonna be up all night, man. He's coming to Madison Monday, man. Is he a mule too? Is he gonna bring all the party to the town?
You know, I wonder if that's how the Trumps did it. You know, they'd fly on Air Force One. Don Jr. would hop on. You know, they could just as easily turn around and point a finger at Hunter. But to point a finger at Joe, that just doesn't make sense to me. I mean,
come on, 80-year-olds back. Are blowing down in the back right before they come out. I mean, come on, wouldn't it be an amphetamine pill or something along those lines? You know, like old school?
I mean, wasn't it actually the Trump White House that was accused of having the, you know, Dr. Feelgood, Ronnie Jackson, giving away all the drugs?
They demoted the guy for being a peddler.
Try all the drugs. More Devil's Advocates.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, Friday Eve up in here. It's a happy hour, Dom. It'll be a happier happy hour at 5 when our pal, pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin, joins national polling after 5 o'clock. And we'll take your calls up until then, 844-967-2789. Before we go back to the phones, though, Dom, I want to point out your girl, three-toe Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, yeah. She's very influential in the Congress, which tells you a whole lot why people are resigning in mass these days.
Well, she's threatening the speaker, Mike Johnson, calling him a Democrat and likening him to Nancy Pelosi. I thought you were on the same team. U.S. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene is ramping up her threats against Republican Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, MAGA Mike, as we like to call him, after filing an open-ended motion. Open-ended, nothing like a ongoing terrorist threat.
Right, the gun constantly pointed at your head, but maybe I will or will not pull the trigger.
Filing an open-ended motion to oust him last month, which she can activate at any time. The Georgia GOP congresswoman top priority appears to be blocking critical military aid to Ukraine, you know, defending against Russian President Vladimir Putin's illegal war. And she's threatening she could try to force the gavel from Speaker Johnson's hand if he moves to allow legislation to support the sovereign nation to go forward for a vote.
In other words, Marge, do it.
If there's a Ukraine vote to provide aid against Putin, she's going to kill the speaker. Funding Ukraine is probably one of the most egregious things he can do, Green said to CNN's Manu Raju. Let me tell you, when he forces that vote again under suspension with no amendments and funds Ukraine and people find out how angry their constituents are about it, that's going to move the needle even more.
Are the constituents angry about funding or not funding Ukraine? I mean, how many constituents can point out Ukraine on a map? Can Marjorie point out Ukraine on a map?
That's not important at this moment. I'm talking here. She also said she was not backing off at all over her threat to force a House vote seeking his ouster. Raju reported at CNN, but she also added, "I'm not saying I have a red line or a trigger, but I'm not saying I don't have a red line or a trigger." And I think that's just where I am right now, but I'm not going to tell you right now. What the hell does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. She's like Trump. Words come out of her mouth, and sometimes you can interpret what they mean, and sometimes they don't mean anything because she's not saying anything. Now, she's going to hold this over the dude's head, period. And the Dems have implied that they would come to his defense, the Speaker, the Republican, Mega Mike Johnson's, the Speaker's defense, if he pushes this to the floor, because it's something that most people want.
Only those that believe in, trying to uphold democracy, Dom.
Well, and Marjorie, of course, doesn't, because they tried to overturn democracy in this country. If they don't give a damn about democracy in the United States of America, what makes you think they give a damn about democracy a half a world away where they don't even know where it's at?
Dom, some Republicans have proposed a Ukraine funding bill that would be in the form of a loan. That proposal is backed by Trump and pushed by Lindsey Graham and is under consideration from Johnson, Raju reported. He adds that Green called it the biggest bunch of heaping, steaming pile of bullcrap. Not exactly what she said. That it is so insulting to the American people.
Almost as insulting as Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Green dismissed concerns that ousting Speaker Johnson could be lead to a more moderate speaker, and continued to attack Johnson. There's not even any daylight between him and Nancy Pelosi at this point. And here's Mike Johnson. He literally turned into Mitch McConnell's twin, and worse, he's a Democrat. So Mega Mike Johnson, by her assessment, now should be characterized as a Democrat.
See, that's how they do it. Next thing you know, they're going to be taking his photo, erasing his photo out of the historical documents.
Now, the far-right Georgia Republicans' comparisons, almost like they're unoriginal, Dom, echo a right-wing website, The Federalist, which on Tuesday published a piece titled "Mike Johnson's Ukraine First Agenda Shows He's No Different Than Mitch McConnell." Oh, wonder where she got that from.
Yeah, wow.
So your girl, MTG, she's got the open-ended terrorist threat going on. I'll take your head off at any time.
Do it.
Vote
Do
for
it.
Me.
I encourage you. Marjorie Taylor Greene, don't back down. I mean, if you think you got it, pull that trigger. Make it happen.
You know, it's interesting. I found myself listening to inferior Righty Whitey Talk Radio today.
Why would you do that, Michael?
Well, that's how I inform myself of the alternative reality that some find themselves living in.
Is that what we're calling it?
And it was quite interesting that Ron Johnson appeared on Vicky's show, your girl Vicky. And Ron said, really, it's too bad that this war in Ukraine can't end. I know some are going to blame it on Putin, but it's too bad. But really, what Ron Johnson said is there should have been more Ukrainian defensive missiles as a deterrent to the incursion of the Russians. If only there had been a proper number of missiles on the border. And I'm thinking, Ron, that was the whole impeachment 1.0, dude. Remember your guy, Donald Trump, and he sent you. You were sent as a legislative envoy to try and get him to release the funding. It had already been allocated by both the Senate and the House. They already had the money spent on the defensive missiles that might, discourage the incursion of the Russians into, the Ukraine, as they call it.
Yeah, but what made that pause? What slowed that process down?
Well, of course, the newly elected Vladimir Zelensky seemed quite unwilling to manufacture evidence against Joe Biden and his son through the dealings of Burisma. And
I need you to do me a favor, though.
Well, that's what Trump said. But let's not forget, Ron Johnson was on the ground pressuring Zelensky on behalf of Trump. He claims he was also trying to get Trump to do the right thing, which tells me Trump wasn't doing the right thing, even by the assessment of the very MAGA Ron Johnson, right? But I just find it so damn ironic that Ron's out there on right-wing talk radio spouting the fact, yeah, you know, of course, Putin bears some small semblance of blame.
All of it.
But if only there had been enough defensive missiles for the Ukrainians, that would have stopped this incursion, you know, ball game over. And I believe I heard Anthony Blinken, or at least I heard it reported, Blinken said today that Ukraine should immediately be admitted into NATO, which would change the whole perspective entirely, right?
Yes.
Ron Johnson said we should have just had NATO troops in the Ukraine, but I'm thinking, well, that's all 2020 hindsight, Ron.
Well, yeah, and nice of you to say that.
And Ron's also the guy that's been blocking the actual funding of the Ukraine aid because, you know, he's like, well, we can secure the border in Ukraine, but not here in the United States. You've literally been the center helping to block the aid for the Ukraine, but you're blaming it on prior administrations without acknowledging. That means your guy. That means right. Trump didn't do the right thing, Ron. It's amazing how he forgets the name of the former president when he's explaining prior administrations didn't provide adequate defensive weapons for Ukraine.
He knows, of course, he knows what he's doing. He's trying to rewrite the history. And at the end of the day, we know what Trump did. We know what Ron did. Here's where we're at today. What are you doing now? What are your actions today, Senator Johnson? He's blocking the aid, right?
I'm not clear if he's still in that position, but he's certainly not advancing the aid to the Ukraine. And he's basically saying it's time for Ukraine to surrender to Russia.
Yeah, just give up.
This war needs to end. And as Ron said, I've said this many times, Putin won't lose. Well, if Putin won't lose, well, I guess ball game's over then. Because Ron says that Putin says Putin won't lose. Well, why even play the game then?
why even have the war?
Why not just surrender democracy. Your sovereign country? Because U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, the pride of Oshkosh, says that Putin says Putin won't lose.
Again, if they don't care about democracy in this country, why would they give a damn about another country?
I'm not clear. 844-967-2789. Dom, I can't reach the phones.
All right, man, I got it. 844-96-PARTY, LA Tom, you are up. Welcome, Tom. What are your thoughts today?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must not forget that. Everyone get out, register to vote. Vote for Kristen Wiley if you're in her district. And
give her money if you're not in her district, because that campaign's going to need some money.
I gave money.
Excellent, yeah, Tom. You're a good guy.
I love Kristen. But what I want to say is, again, if the Republicans are spewing it, they're doing it. If you want to know what they're going to do next, they tell you right away. So when Donald Trump talks about cocaine, well, I guess he's telling on himself once again that he does cocaine. It's a very, very simple thing. If we all get a little more in tune to it, whatever they say that someone else is doing, they're doing it. First off, I don't think Democrats are that creative to come up with these things, to do these things. That's why.
What things? Yeah. Hang on. Like accusing the president of doing cocaine? Those things? What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. That, and then things like, they're going to, what else did I say the Democrats are going to do? Democrats are going to take your guns. I'm sure if the Republicans got in there and the authoritarian leadership, the guns would be gone. Democrats are going to take you to war. Oh, there we go. Republicans take us to war. You know, whatever it is that they say that Democrats are going to do, that's what the Republicans end up doing. It's just they tell on themselves before anything ever even happens. So I would just, you know, voting. Oh, boy, that. There's so much voter fraud out there. Who are the ones that get caught with voter fraud? The Republicans. So I just hope everybody realizes that whenever Donald Trump talks, he's really telling on himself. And people don't fall for this in terms of what's going on out there. you know, if there's money being stolen, or if he says Joe Biden's stealing money, guess who's stealing the money? You can bet, you know, he says Joe Biden is a rapist. They say, you know, Democrats are pedophiles. Who are the pedophiles? Well, you got, what's his face?
Tom, I hate to cut you off, man, but if you're going to start enumerating all the Republican pedophiles, we're going to need more than 3 hours.
Well, and if you're going to stay in point, and I agree, lots of projection, Tom, no question about it. Well, the question is, you know, I get that. You get that. Crudy gets that. Do his followers? Does anybody else get that? 844-967-2789. And if they do, they seemingly don't care. Dick from Madison. You're next, Dick. Happy days, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, he doesn't hide anything. The fact of the matter is he's, okay, you remember back 50 years ago when Richard Nixon declared, I'm not a crook? Well, now Trump wants to be the crook. There was an interesting article. Opinion.
I have yet to hear him declare, I am a crook. That would be the
compare himself to Al Capone quite a bit.
Yes, right. I was just getting to that, Tom. It's exactly what he's been doing. It's talking about how he's a lot like him. And then how about this? I wasn't aware of this. They were selling pieces of the suit that he wore for the mugshot, cutting it up, selling them for $4,000, and then you could have dinner with him at Mar-a-Lago. And, you know, and then right out
I'm pretty sure you could buy a piece of that flag he humped on stage that one time too, Dick.
Well, he'd have enough for at least 5,000 people with the lard ass he's got. But anyway, you know, then right off out of the box with Comey, I demand loyalty. He talks like a gangster, and he's apparently making these references all the time to liken himself to Al Capone. You know, he talks about, you know, he was tough. And he'd blow your brains out if you look at him the wrong way.
Hey, you say that again, you're going to be sleeping with the fishes, Dick.
Hey, forget about it. A friend of mine or a friend of ours? You're a friend of ours, Dick. Appreciate your call. 844-967-2789. You think he's going to be able to, you know, cut up that orange jumpsuit and sell it for cigarettes?
I do see he's been apparently having meetings with...
Oh, Bonesaw.
Bonesaw, yeah, the guy that killed Khashoggi, or at least okayed it, the prince of Saudi Arabia. But that's just about money. Probably not any criming at all being discussed.
No, of course not. I mean, come on. Think that's possible? Saudis and Trump criming? No.
844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
You're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Your call, welcome here, 844-967-2789. That's too many numbers for you to remember. Just download the Civic Media app, find it at your favorite app store. All you have to do, press a button. You can text or call 844-967-PARTY.
Dominic, one more. Legislative candidate Eric Hudby, the Laguna Beach multimillionaire. Well, apparently he's softened on the issue of abortion, trying to make himself a little more electable, you know, sort of a la Tim Michaels, right?
So do you believe him now or do you believe him then?
Well, you know, I've changed the nature of my deep felt spiritual belief because I find myself unelectable in this current lane. On abortion, Eric Hudby says he backs a right to make a choice early in the pregnancy, like super early. Women early on in the pregnancy should have a right to make a choice. Apparently, you know, he's the determinant of what the right time frame
obviously, is. With that mustache, that all wise and knowing and giving mustache, he knows what's best for women in this country.
Well, that is according to U.S. Senate Republican candidate Eric Hudby. He told reporters in Milwaukee Thursday, but declined to state at which specific point that abortion should be banned. The banking and real estate mogul also reiterated a position he shared shortly after launching his campaign in February. He supports exceptions, Dom. This is, again, a softening of his prior policy. He supports exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother, and thinks voters should decide the laws that govern the issue. Well, isn't that convenient? Yeah. Hudby pushed back on on a question asking his stance on the issue, how it's changed since he last ran for office 12 years ago in 2012, saying he has never changed his position on exceptions, but his comments Thursday about a right to make a choice early in the pregnancy do appear to be a shift, so he's lying, Dom. At that time, Hudvey said he was totally opposed to abortion. In a Wisconsin State Journal candidate questionnaire at the time, Hudvey said, "I am pro-life and I oppose legalized abortion. I believe contraception should be legal." Well, nice concession you make there, candidate Hudvey. Speaking to reporters Thursday, he said, "As it pertains to abortion, look, I'm very clear on that issue. I just keep changing my mind. I believe in exceptions. I believe in the beauty of life. I think women early on in the pregnancy should have a right to make a choice. But I think there's a point where once a baby can be born healthy and alive, that it's unconscionable for that baby, that that baby could be terminated." Well, that sounds more like the point of viability. That was what Roe v. Wade was, Eric. And, you know, that wasn't your prior avocation.
Oh, is he supporting Roe v. Wade now?
Dom Hudvey's first run came a decade before the U.S. Supreme Court overturned its 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which legalized abortion nationwide. In its ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Healthcare, the Dobbs ruling effectively put back into place in Wisconsin an 1849 law completely banning abortion, although a Dane County judge in December declared the ban does not apply to consensual procedures. I think we need resolution on that point for the sake of women in the state. And the issues of abortion, contraception, and fertility treatments have been at the forefront of the races in Wisconsin and throughout the country since the High Court's 2022 ruling. Hudvey aims to deny Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin a third term. Good luck with that, sir. Baldwin has been a staunch supporter of abortion access. Here is her campaign statement. Tammy is a fighter for Wisconsin women that Wisconsin's women can always count on to defend our reproductive freedoms, according to her campaign spokesperson, Jackie Rosa. Now, following the Alabama Supreme Court ruling that could limit the availability of in vitro fertilization, her campaign said, Tammy is going to keep working hard to ensure no politician or judge can stand in between a woman and getting the health care she needs. Hudvey on Thursday also reiterated his support for access to IVF and fertility treatments, which he initially confirmed after the Alabama decision. Well, could you? Fertility treatments, obviously, I want anybody that wants to have a child, of course. Birth control, yeah, it's just the women that don't want to have the children. Those are the ones that don't have any control.
That he wants to force to have the children.
Birth control, if a woman wants access to birth control, gets access to birth control, I have no problem with that. How quaint. How nice of him.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, I really, really appreciate that, Mustache Man, that you have no problem that women access birth control. We certainly appreciate your allowances and understanding. Speaking for all the women everywhere, because I'm a middle-aged man, you're welcome.
Well, he does point out, Hudvey points out, the candidate noted, well, he does have two daughters and three grandchildren. Well, that qualifies him on all issues, does it not, Tom?
All he's got to do is be on the radio next.
And he will always lean towards life and the beauty of life. But at the same time, I think we should, again, come together, find reasonable ground. That hasn't been your position up until now, sir. He noted that Western European countries tend to ban abortion somewhere between 12 and 15 weeks. I believe early in a pregnancy, a woman should have a right to choose. And I'm not going to pick that time. I think it's put back in the, I think it should be put back to the voters of Wisconsin. I think we need to do a referendum in the state. It sounds like Ron Johnson, doesn't it? And everybody should have the right to vote and we'll come together as a state. Now, if it was a people's referendum, I'm down, my man, because I think Florida is going to be in play this fall. And Florida has not been in play since Obama was on the ticket. And why is it in play? Two issues. Abortion, in light of the Florida Supreme Court basically instituting the, what, six-week abortion ban, I believe it was. Maybe it's 15, but I thought it was six-week abortion ban signed into law by Ron DeSantis. And then turned around.
The Florida Supreme Court.
And turned around, but said the voters should have a right to vote on this via referendum. And also, Dan, one of your favorite issues, legalized marijuana is going to be on the ballot in Florida in the fall. Now, do you think that might motivate some young voters? Abortion rights, which the state Supreme Court just took away from you and your governor is more than willing to sign away for you in the state of Florida, and legalized marijuana. And they actually have medicinal. Ron DeSantis signed off on medicinal marijuana. And he also apparently made really big friends with lots of marijuana people. You know, Lev Parnas? Lev Parnas, Rudy's buddy. You know what the campaign finance law violations were about? Giving money back to try and establish cannabis licenses. Lev was in the weed business, and Ron DeSantis was right there with him. Crazy, crazy stuff.
Ah, just ahead of my time, Curdy.
844-967-2789. You were always so far behind that it's almost like you're early for tomorrow. Ha, ha, ha.